too late. November is too late.
Of course you can. But you're the one that didn't. No, the issue isn't so much that. And the issue isn't, you know, the truth of the matter is, I think that they have drafts. They have drafts with them and so on. The problem is, I think, the time period in terms of consultation. Remember, they will need to start consulting outside of the 30-day period. I mean, when it gets to Parliament, you still then have that additional 30-day period. So that's really the difficulty. I don't think the technical problems are what's keeping them from tabling and stuff. Which is why they have to finish all of that before November. And if they don't then come back in November, then we certainly will insist that they table, regardless of... Because, look, ultimately, we also consult. We consult here in Parliament. So if they haven't completed their consultations and so on, they come, and we do. And, of course, then we refer it for 30 days to the Houses, which also in turn will have consultations. And it's really going to be the same people that people are going to be consulting, after all.
So this means the current state is the gist of June. I appreciate the urgency of it. But normally, like, the Constitutional Court will give a year or 2 years or something like that. So we'll be quite in our right to say, well, it's 1 year.
We don't also want it too close to the election. The ones early in 2009. So let's try and meet that deadline, and let me then impose on you to agree with me.
And also to congratulate our new ministers of health, new minister and the deputy minister for the appointment. And also to congratulate our former Minister of Health to be appointed in the office of the President. To wish them luck. Our agenda for today, between 10 and 12:30, is a briefing by the Department of Health on medicine and related substance amendment bill B44 of 2008. We'll be getting a briefing from the department for the first time. And 12:30 to 13:00, we'll be doing the business of the committee, adoption of the outstanding minutes today. And also to indicate that the office of the chairperson received a letter of presentation from TAC. It's a very thick document. We only received it this one. So we must go and read and study it and give it to the other members. I think we'll give you an opportunity to do an oral presentation on the 22nd, if you are interested. I mean, on Tuesday, 22nd. But he is reading 22nd. Okay, next Tuesday. We'll be only doing an oral presentation, and I'm not going to deliberate or engage, because the committee will be engaged with the department. I think that's in order. After having said that, let me hand over to the department. Oh, before that, because I see the new faces, let me give the lead of delegation to introduce, please, encourage. But before that, I think we've got apologies. I'll give an opportunity to Secretary to read our apology.
Okay, so we've received two written apologies here from Mr. Kani, and Mr. Sona, who is attending the Judicial Service Commission on Friday. Mr. Buko also emailed me yesterday, apologizing that he was not attending the meeting.
Do you adopt the apology, Honourable Member?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Apologies about that. How about you, Honorable Member Lamola? The late arrival of Honorable Kitchen. Thank you very much. Over to have a
thanks, Madam Chair and Honorable Members. We trust that the members already have copies of the bill. What we'll do is give an outline of what the bill is for achieving, especially starting with an outline of the Clinton Act and how we plan to amend it. So I think starting with the 2010. But as members will be aware, this amendment will be... As members will be aware,
there's a need for the department to intervene. And maybe our guests, the members are still the same members until we see.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I will introduce myself. My colleagues will do the same. My name is Selo Ramasala, Chief Director of Legal Services, National Department for Health.
My name is Anjita,
I'm Director of Medicine, Chief Director of Legal Services.
Good morning. My name is Anjita Kale. I'm Cluster Manager of Economics.
My name is Dombi Nikiswak from the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor.
My name is Orlina Lula from the Chief Legal
Advisor. Okay, thank you. Anybody who deals with quality issues from the department, let me not say something. Okay. Because normally five legal people without the quality people who always come. So I just wanted to check it out there. Otherwise, it's going to
Yes, no, the register is also the chief director for the Quality Protection of Medicine Support.
Okay.
So that's the calculator as well.
Okay, let me give other guests to introduce themselves for the quality. May you introduce yourself to visiting us today? Man,
thank you, Honorable Chair. As I said, there was part of the outline of the Clinical Act, which was taken from amend, which is the Medicines and Related Substances Act, 101 of 1965. Currently, the Clinical Act provides for the control of medicines and medical devices. The medical devices that is in control in practice are those that contain medicines in them. The Act also provides for the establishment of the Medicine Control Council, the MCC. The also provides in the Act is the appointment of the MCC by the Minister. And the Act also provides for the appointment of the Registrar of Medicines by the Minister after consultation with the Medicines Control Council. Basically, that's an outline of what the current Act provides for. Now, you will notice from the proposed amendment bill that we are trying to bring a new regime for the registration of medicines. We are proposing for the establishment of an authority, the South African Health Products Produce Authority. Uh, you see that in the bill, what is being proposed is a discount for the medicine and medical devices that are currently regulating. The bill is to include medical devices, drugs, not only those that contain medicines in them, but those that do not contain medicines as well. The bill also seeks to control certain foodstuffs as well as cosmetics, but these are the only ones that have contained medical substances. In other words, we are going to be controlling foodstuffs that have medicines in them, as well as cosmetics that have medicines in them. The bill also provides for the authority as a juristic person, which means that the authority can sue and be sued in its own name, and also that the authority is going to be subject to the PFMA Act, and also that it is the authority that is going to be responsible for the registration of products. I'll be using the product because that is inclusive. As I said earlier, it includes medicines, medical devices, foodstuffs, and cosmetics which contain medicines in them. You will also notice from the proposed bill that the proposed functions of the authority are as follows. Like I said, it will be responsible for the registration of products, which are medicines, medical devices, certain foodstuffs, as well as cosmetics that contain medicines. The authority will also be responsible for the cancellation of registration products. The authority will also be responsible for authorization in relation to sale of unregistered products. The authority will also be responsible for issuing some licenses, in particular licenses for manufacturing, certain acts as wholesalers and distribution of products. And the authority will also have the authority to declare products as undesirable products. In the bill, we are proposing that the authority is going to be headed by the CEO. You will notice that in the current act, as I said earlier, we have provision made for the registrar. In terms of the proposed bill, we will no longer have the registrar. Basically, we have the CEO of the authority responsible for the day-to-day affairs of the authority. You will notice that the CEO is appointed by the minister. The person must be suitably qualified, and we provide for the disqualification of appointment as CEO, which includes insolvency, mental unfitness, and previous conviction. And also, we are providing for the removal of the CEO from office on the basis of serious misconduct, incapacity, and engaging in activities that undermine the integrity of the authority. Now, you will notice that there are certain provisions I wanted to highlight which are cut from the. This includes the terms of the CEO's appointment in general. I can just maybe mention one or two of them. That the CEO is appointed for a term of 5 years, which is renewable one for a further term of five years. The CEO is also appointed on the basis of a document agreement with the minister. And the bill provides that the structure of the authority shall be determined by the minister in consultation with the Minister of Public Health and Administration. those are the provisions that you see appear in the agreement. Now, from the authority, I just picked up one or two provisions that I thought are of interest to the committee in this thing. The first one deals with the appeals against the decision of authority. We are introducing a system where if a person is agreed by the decision of authority, the person will first have some discussions with the CEO, especially if the field matter less administrative issue, that maybe they can have the matter resolved. And if that cannot be resolved, the CEO must appoint an appeal committee, which will comprise 5 persons, chaired by a person who has knowledge of the law, and then the other 4 persons, the other 2 will be appointed by the CEO, the other 2 nominated by the appellant, but also appointed by the CEO. So I'm trying to create some kind of balance in the appeal mechanism. That if the person is still not happy with the appeal committee's decision, the person can approach the High Court for review. And lastly, we have transitional measures. Because we're dealing with when we're using a new structure that is going to be taking over from an already existing structure. Basically, we're saying that products that are already registered at the time when the Amendment Act, which is a bill now, comes into operation will be deemed to be registered. And that the MCC shall cease to exist the day before the Act is brought into operation, that is, the day before the new authority starts to function. And also that anything that the MCC has done will be deemed to be condemned by the authority at the time when the new Act comes into operation. And Madam Chair, those are the starting points of the bill. We'll be happy to go through the bill clause by clause if that's what the committee would prefer. But at this point, I thought it should simply just give the broader outline of what the bill seeks to achieve. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chief Director. I just want to check if there's any additional information from the department. Now, honorable members, there's a presentation. Do you want us to pause for the bill itself? This was just a presentation from the department. And also, I'm asking for the state law address.
My question is on authority. I'm not very clear on the structure of the ministry.
Before the question, Honorable Laguna, the department wanted to go through the bill. I just wanted to tell you the members here. You go straight to the question after the presentation. Presentation of the ministry go on. With the business, or we will deliberate next time when we do the deliberation from by phone. Honorable Paulo?
Yeah, well, I think we have next time when we deliberate by phone. But for now, I see it looks like that we expected a lot of briefing, but it was very short, and I don't know if it was very short. So I thought maybe if they could just tell us just by thought, but not really into real detail because we still going to do that in our next meeting. Just to do that.
Thank you very much, honorable members. So the bill got 22 pages here, but our briefing notes got only 4 pages. So we are not really clear about the presentation. As Honorable Thomas said, may you elaborate more on this day. Then we go back to members for questions, comments, and clarification.
So what we'll do is
honorable Christian?
Yeah.
We'll welcome you later by
Chairperson, I'm not really sure because I was to concur with Honorable Tolo that the presentation that has been done by the department. Is it okay now? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was sick. It was far from me. We're not used to this thing. Now, Chairperson, I was thinking that now perhaps what Honorable Tolo has actually said will suffice. Because what the department did is to capture, pick up key issues that they felt would be relevant to be dealt with in this particular area. I think for us as a committee now to go into the actual bill and engage it. And when the department next comes, then issues that we not clear about that are questionable, we would have actually looked into them and really prepare them and say these are the issues. I'm not really sure if we go into further details now, we'll actually be really not asking too much from the department for now.
Thank you very much, honorable member. But according to the Director Law, it says not set law by God, but to give us more information so that we get more understanding on the situation. Let's give him just 5 minutes to
Thanks, Madam Chair. But what I did was look at the bill purely from a legal point of view. And I will ask the Register of Medicines, the policy person, to explain it to the committee. Why the policy behind the bill, why, for instance, I'm moving from the council, what are the challenges that the council has, and how we're seeking to address them by this authority.
Then I ask, do you have a policy person? Over to you, Chief Director. May you introduce yourself again? Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable members, my name is
Madita Hela.
Hela, yes.
Hela.
No, Hela.
Madita Hela.
Can
In Tonga, it means also.
I'll give a brief explanation of why the change from the current MCC to the SARA. The structure that we are using is one that was instituted in 1965, more than 40 years ago, where we had a committee called the Medicines Control Council that would deal with the registration of medicines on the basis of safety, efficacy, and quality. Now, this committee comprises members that are stipulated in the Act, not more than 24, that would meet at least 6 times a year, and comprising of people that are primarily academicians mainly, and that have got primary jobs elsewhere. Now, over time, we have found that it is exceedingly difficult to deal with present-day circumstances in terms of numbers of the products that we have to register, in terms of the gaps that have been identified, to do our work efficiently and make sure that health products get to the public timely. And that is the background that led to the thinking of coming up with a different structure that would have full-time people that would deal with the work of registration of products, that would deal with clinical trials, that would deal with post-marketing surveillance, that would deal with pharmacovigilance. And in an attempt to make sure that we can hold those people accountable to definite templates that would be agreed to, that would be stipulated in regulations that this is what we're going to do within such and such a time. Currently, it is very difficult to get the members of the MCC, and maybe let me step back a bit and say how the MCC works. It works through 9 or 10 committees. Committees that do the MCC appoint expert committees, and currently we have 10 of those committees. that look at different aspects of the regulatory process. And then they make recommendations to the MCC. The MCC by law is the only body that will sanction registration or deregistration or whatever. They will do the scientific work and then make recommendations. Now the committees themselves comprise people that are part-timers, people that have got primary jobs. Now we had a number of challenges. The first one being the time that is devoted to the work and the accountability in terms of the service level agreements and saying you will be given a piece of work, you must finish it by a certain date, which becomes impossible because now it's on the good mercy of the person, and if they say stuff, it's so good when you try to put pressure. And secondly, these committees are paid a stipend that is within the categories of committees of the Treasury, which is not commensurate with the market-related remuneration. The committees of the Treasury, the amounts are not really what professionals, highly skilled professionals would be ordinarily paid. And therefore, they do it by good means. And as a result, what we have found is that most of the committee and council members are more mature people that are doing the health of the young people that we hope are going to take over with time. I just not interested because the money is enough that through the current arrangement. And lastly, we cannot even use the fees in the current structure, the fees that we collect for the benefit of the authority, the fees that are collected go back to the Treasury because of the current arrangement as a freestanding committee and also with the Department of Health. Which is why we thought about an authority that would be a juristic person so that we can have market-related remuneration, so that we can have retention of fees and things like that, and also accountable officials where we can draw up a performance agreement or a service level agreement and hold the person to it and accountable. We, however, mindful of the fact that we cannot do all the work with the people that we have inside. We will always have to outsource some of the work to experts that are outside. We'll always need some peer review for complicated things with experts from outside. And therefore, this bill does make provision for the CEO to appoint an expert committee to deal with this issue. Now, coming to the shortcomings rather than the long timeline, maybe if I can explain, over the last 3 years, the applications for generics have doubled from around 400 to about 800-900 per annum. We've had impact trials since that we never used to have. We also have gaps because the Act, as it stands, provides for medical devices, but what has been happening is that we only looked at the medicinal aspect of the device that is created with medicine, and we haven't been evaluating the device on its own. We have been taking standards from the ISO or from the CE, the European Union registration. So that is a gap that has been identified that we do not evaluate the efficacy and the safety of the device itself. We're only looking at less than hand, the devices that are added on to this bill in total. Also, we're talking for the first time in this bill of the IVDs, which are the number diagnostic in vitro diagnostic centers. In vitro diagnostic centers, we don't regulate at all. That is the case. We also, including under the definition of medicine, complementary medicine and African traditional medicine, which will have to be regulated and what's going forward. The principles remain the same, in safety, efficacy, and quality. It's designed to seek a little more efficiency and a little more accountability both to the public and to the African market. I hope that explains why it is.
Just an additional information from the chief director over to you, Mr.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Maybe just explain briefly why we have a 40-page bill and then 4-page presentation. basically, what the bill put to the attention the authority instead of the NIC. Now, we have had to go through the entire act, the principal act, to replace the word cancer with the word authority, to replace the word medicine with the word product throughout. Now, we have had almost to amend each and every section, but the principle remains the same.
Unless there are any specific things that are required for the
No, it's fine. Honorable members, questions? Comments?
Honorable Lamola. Thank you, thank you.
Okay, mine on authority. I still don't understand the structure of the new authority. I would like to elaborate on that. Let me explain to you who will be part and parcel of the new authority. Okay, I'm not clear on that. And then I'm also not clear on the committee now being reformed. Does that say that we'll be needing more scientists? And do we need full-time scientists? And if we do, how will we allocate these if we have scientists really to act on that? What's the scientist?
Can you come in? On our problem?
Yeah, I think the question of instructor, I have the same question as well. Because it looks like we are giving the CEO a blank check. So to say that the CEO must establish an instructor, then there are no outer parameters as to how the structure is looked like. I think it's okay. So can you tell us the structure? How many people are going to do it? There's nothing to keep it in there. Because we're just saying. The corruption helps through the regulation authority hereby established. The authority is a Jewish person, subject to public finance, we hear that, accountable to the minister, we hear that. But what is the structure itself? It's not in here, unless it is somewhere where I'm not, you know, but it's not in here. Another thing that I wanted to, that on customer three. The minister must appoint a suitably qualified person as the chief executive officer of the authority, and that person must not have been convicted of an offense committed after the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1993 took effect, and sentenced to imprisonment without option of the fine. So you are saying that this person could have committed crime prior 1993, but you do not consider him that. Can I just get some information there? You are saying a person may have been a rapist before the Constitution of 1993. If a person may be a murderer before 1993, that person can actually be appointed. I don't get that right there. I might be wrong, but that's my reason. You are saying only, you know, you are saying here that after the Constitution of 1993. Am I right? Maybe I'm wrong somewhere. You are saying somewhere also that the chief, when you talk about this, how do you call this thing? The appeal. When you talk about the appeal, you are saying all the four people, the way I see it here, will be appointed by the CEO. Other family officers are nominated by the accident, but appointed by the CEO, two of them. And the other two are appointed directly by the CEO. Now, the CEO has a position first here. He says no without certain things. And the person appeals against the decision of the CEO. But this is the same CEO who appoints the people who are going to sit on the appeal. The CEO in a big table will appoint people who agree with his viewpoint. What do you think? That there's no independence of this
checks and balance.
Appeal committee here.
Checks and balance.
I have, yeah?
Get a checks and balance.
Checks and balances, yes. I've got a little problem there. Are you not giving the CEO too much power? Guess what? You're going to say, okay, that one most probably agrees with me and therefore I'll appoint that. That one will not make it, but I'll appoint that. You know, can we not have somebody else, I don't know who, but somebody else appointing the people who serve in the in this thing, because this is the CEO that illusion that is appealed against. That's my last problem. My last issue here is, okay, now let me get
something.
Well, no, the last one is, we are saying that this authority will be subject to PSMA. And I would have thought that PSMA, maybe I'm wrong here, but you can be wrong. But you are saying you want to attract people who may not be, you know, people who may be able to pay more, you know, than you pay, for instance, vaccine, surveillance, and all these documents. They are saying we will treat market release and prices. At the same time, they are subject to PFMA. I would have thought that PFMA is the regulator, and you cannot therefore go outside PFMA as if you are the private sector, if you are appointing people. So what about the situation? I see some of those contradictions.
thanks, Jefferson. I think Mr. Tolo is actually Honorable Tolo, not Mr. Oh,
no.
Thank you all. He is actually Jeff. Who knows, it might happen tomorrow that you are no more. Okay, thank you. Chairperson, I was just in Honorable Tora has actually touched some of the things. I won't repeat them, but let me deal with others that I think I need clarification there. On your bonus thing, I think it's your page 9, line 30 to 35. Can you explain that bonus thing? It's on page 9. Line 30 to 35, where you're dealing with bonus. Can you explain that? I'm actually a little bit lost with that explanation. It's called bonusing, and if I can get clarification on that one, I'll actually be very happy. Now, also on your, I'm hoping up and because up and down. On a page 11, where you're dealing with 19, authority lines 7 and 8. I'm sorry, 7 to 9. You are substituting section 21 of the principal aid by that says authority may authorize sale of unregistered products, medical devices or IVDs for certain purposes. But on page 5, line 7, 8, 9, where you're dealing with, you are actually subsection 14 of the Principal Act by this prohibition on the sale of medicines or products, medical devices or IVDs which are subject to registration and are not registered. Now that section, because those that are not registered that will be authorized, I'm not really sure what under class will you be doing that, because I suppose that when this aspect products are authorized, they've gone through a certain process. I'm just looking for somewhere where I've marked where you talked about your efficacy, somewhere where you told about, you actually explained, yeah, that is on page 10, line 40, about 40 there, where you say, you're also dealing about the publication or distribution of false advertisements concerning products, medical devices, or IVDs. Number 20, no person shall, I'll go to be of that, in any advertisement make any claim to the effect that the therapeutic efficacy and effect of any product is other than that stated by the authority in terms of subparagraph, walla walla walla. I'm saying things that are not... you are approving things, authorizing things that are not registered. Some of the aspects here, where will you take care of them in terms of checking the efficacy or that which actually is supposed to be done by that particular product? I'm worried about the misrepresentation of products where they are authorized, and we medically we have not really gone into the deeper ends of saying what can this product do. I'm not sure whether I'm complicating matters. But also, Chairperson, on the same page 10, where you talk about the line 15, prohibition of sale of medicine, no person shall sell any product, medical device, or IVDs unless it complies with the prescribed requirement. Now, I'm taking these issues where you said you'll approve some, authorize something not registered. Now, you are now saying that now a person shall not sell a product that does not comply with prescribed requirements. I'm actually getting confused. Chairperson, the last question now is, I don't see penalties. If a person comes and sells a product that has not gone through the authority, and claim to do certain functions. When that product doesn't do that, I don't see, if it's here, I haven't seen it, how much kind of a function penalty, because I can hold this and say, this can heal AIDS, you know what I'm saying? And either registered, not registered, I'm just trying to check that in here, there are no functions of misrepresentation. And if it's there, please show me so that I can follow through. I see Suleiman is laughing, and maybe he's just about to introduce something that is... Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any other member? Honorable member? No comment?
I see Suleiman is uncomfortable.
No.
What's happening tomorrow, Suleiman?
On your second page of the presentation, if you can elaborate more on the control of medical devices as well as stuff and cosmetics which contain certain substances, if you can get more clarity on that way. Because there was a view that it has on cosmetics and stuff and cosmetics. How do they relate? May you respond?
Thanks, Madam Chair. We will respond to all the questions. My colleagues will assist me in the process. Starting with the question around the structure of the authority. Members will notice that in clause 3, which amends Section 2 of the Principal Act. If you look at Section 6, which appears on page 4 of the bill, line 51, page 4, line 2 of the bill, we are saying there that the Minister of Health shall, page 4, line 51 of the bill, We are saying that is the new subsection 6A. It says the Minister of Health shall, after consultation with the Minister of Public Health Administration, determine the structure and the human resource policy of the authority. What we've elected to do is to not provide for a structure in legislation. We're always going to present a lot of challenges. What we are doing is to leave it to the two ministers to agree on the mental structure, taking into account at any given point the issues that are at a particular point in time. The other option is, for instance, if the other option would have been to say the authority shall comprise, for instance, the following division, finance, HR, and that was going to be problematic to put in law. If you look at similar legislation that they have published, entities, many of them don't provide for the structures. I mean, if you look at the legislation that governs social security agencies, SASA, for instance, you don't have a structure provided for industry. It talks about the appointment of the CEO, and the CEO appoints staff of the agency. The same could be said if you look at the SARS legislation. Doesn't tell you what the threat of that is going to be. Simply talks about the appointment of the commission. If you also look at the labor legislation with regard to the CCMA, for instance, it doesn't give you the threat of the CMA. In that particular piece of legislation, it talks about the appointment of the commissioner and the appointment of staff by the commission. So that's the kind of approach that we've adopted. Because you want to have that you want to give that flexibility to the two ministers to determine the threat of the authority. The second question is
follow up is, I think it's not been the two ministers together, it's only one minister. What it says here, after consultation, the Minister of Health can consult, but thereafter can decide to do whatever he or she wants to do. It's not even two ministers for question of balance. It's one minister. And we've got a problem if you give one minister such big power to just decide on such a big thing. I have a problem, something like that. I want to tell you, if you give such power to one person. Because in other bills that we have passed in Parliament, we have always put Parliament as an upper limit. You know, they say a structure of not more than so many people. You know what I'm saying? I understand what you are saying on the about this other structure. I'm saying that we also passed laws here where we say the structure of the upper limit that has been put. The first laws here that they've got such type of things. That's why. So I still have problems with cheetah about giving such great power to one person. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think also the explanation provided doesn't really gel in terms of, because you see, it doesn't seem like this is a board from which the board can appoint a CEO, from which the boss, in that particular selection of a board, you can have committees. It's like one person appointed and doing anything that he or she wants. Now, I mean, for me, I have the feeling that this is some kind of a board with a minimum and upper limit and say, this is how many people can be in this particular kind of a structure. And within that structure, you shall have a chairperson appointed by the minister and thereafter the deputy chairperson, the rest of the board members being X number. They will see what to do with the rest of the things. But if the law says they shall appoint a CEO, we are now aware that the board, the CEO will report to the board. I'm just giving that as a scenario. The CEO will report to the board. Now the board will come with regulations to make sure that the CEO performs. But here, it's something that is very much unusual, which I've got serious problems with it. But if it was in the format of a board, minimum, maximum, chairperson by the minister appointed, and then the board running the affair of appointing the administration, CEO and others, they will come with the regulations now, and they won't necessarily have to you have a public service minister and the minister of health doing that. So I've got a problem with the way the whole thing is put, because it's like here's a blank check, somebody else can do whatever, and we're going to run into problems with that. So I really say we need to think twice and thrice about this particular structure that is here.
Thank you very much. Honorable
Chair. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just an addition. Chair, you know, whenever you pass a bill or a piece of legislation, it's got cost implications. And to bring a bill to us and say that we've got no clue, no idea as to this authority will consist of 10 or 15 but if you read the bill here, it quotes some figures of the cost implications of the bill itself. And I'm starting to worry as to see how did you arrive at these figures. So we must have an idea as to how many members are going to sit in this report, because it will have cost implications. Thank you, Chair.
Madam, I'm sharing here. I see I'm having another meeting later. Honorable member,
thanks. We were just talking about who is going to be dealing with such questions. We apologize for the distractions that might cause the proceedings. On the structure, we are moving from the arrangement of the council, which was comprising part-time individuals, to an authority, which is going to be a full-time entity. Now, the matter of the upper limit and number was relevant to a council kind of person, where you appoint a certain number of persons to sit in a council, which is what we have currently in terms of the Principal Act, where we have 24 members of the council appointed by the, not more than 24, appointed by the minister. Now, we have consciously moved away for the reasons that the Register has explained from that arrangement of a council to a full-time entity. Now, with an entity full-time as we are suggesting, I'm trying to figure out how one can provide for numbers in an entity. what would be the number for staff members? Surely you can't. You can't still have 10 or 100 staff members. You can't determine that at this point. Not even in legislation. You can't do that. That will depend on the the persons responsible for the establishment at the time when they establish the authority. But given the nature of the work, for instance, given the products that are going to be regulated, the challenges that we have with those particular products, maybe this is the number of divisions that we need in this authority. You probably have a division that deals with complementary medicine, you have a division that deals with orthodox medicine, maybe African traditional medicine. As and when you determine the actual operations of the authority, there is no way in law you can say that you should have less than 50 or more than 100 people. It's going to be that's my take on it.
But I think on the that how do you arrive at the as a figure that this deal will cost so much when you don't know how many people are going to have? How do you arrive at the number? This deal will cost so many millions in the day. How do you arrive at that number? I hear the rationale what you are saying. But how do you then arrive at this? Because you can't arrive at a figure and say this deal to implement will cost so much. But you don't know how many people are going to be employed. For me, the contradiction is there.
Chief Director Hela, maybe we can help the Honorable Member. What we have done, we do have a plan, as it is a very premature plan, where we have looked at our workload and benchmarked that against how many people we would need, of what level, in terms of their capacity, in terms of their experience. And we benchmarked that also against other mature regulatory authorities. We looked at Canada, we looked at Australia, we looked at Singapore, we looked at Zimbabwe, we looked at a number of smaller, medium-sized regulatory authorities. Yes, because it's a developing country like us. Now, yeah. And incidentally, they were having before the current program one of the best regulatory authorities, that is a fact. And therefore, it is against that benchmark that we have a tentative figure of how many people we need. But this was based on what we currently do. Now there are, and then we also looked at what we currently do not do, like the medical devices and the IVDs that I needed to, as well as African traditional medicine and complementary medicine that we have to expand. Then we added the expertise, which is also a calculated estimate of what additional experts we would need. And this is looking at the broader international new technologies that are coming up, like nanotechnologies and many complicated biosubstantial structures that are becoming the norm, where we surely will not have sufficient expertise within the authority that we will have to rely on other people. And that was part of what was in the ministerial task team report that was attempting to look at those issues. But as my colleague has said, this is going to be, we think, a phased approach where we will start with what we do currently and add on the most critical things, and as we gain muscle, we add more and more to the food. And that will be clearer in regulation. What is it that we're going to do from day one? What is it that we will move on to in day two? What time span are we going to give ourselves to train people, as the Honorable Member has asked, to train people to do the work efficiently, to derive timelines that are comparable with the best in the world? So that's the challenge we have. And therefore, how much this is going to cost, we can give an estimate of beginning, we can give an estimate as we move on, and I think the annual report and the report to the Auditor General will determine how we move forward. But it's very difficult to put an X number of people from day one, because I also assume that people gain expertise, the work will go faster in certain areas and will be gaining more complicated matters in other areas. before follow up, you talk about costing. I just want to check if you lied with the treasury when you were claiming costing of the fee. That's the headline to the costing of the fee. But Honorable Teacher wants to do another follow up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing it for the last time. Perhaps the matter to flag this. There are two aspects here about authority. We've been dealing with the social development. They have SASA as an agency. I'm not sure if what they're proposing is in that format of SASA. You know, the South African Social, the agency that is actually doing work on behalf of social development in terms of paying out the grant. I'm not sure if it's in that way. There's another, we're dealing with another authority, the drug central authority. Whether what they're proposing is also, because those are the two, the formats are not the same. But I want us to, perhaps we may have to look at it later, but I'm just giving this as examples where we have two entities that are doing certain things. They were properly defined in the Act. So here, we don't. So I'm saying we may have to flag this, but look at these two and say, is it the type of this or something new? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Department?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Maybe before we continue with the other answer to the question, if I can deal with Honorable Chair, comment is indeed we are following the SASA model. In the SASA model there is no board, there is no council. It's an agency. If you look at that particular act, as I said earlier, you will not see anywhere in that act where the structure is defined, where they said it elects so many people. It talks about the appointment of the CEO. Who are then the appointed staff of the agent? That's how it's provided for in that particular case of registration. I can also maybe give an example of the State Department. I'm not aware of any law in this country that determines that the Department of Justice, for instance, shall have so many staff members. It could be said of any other State Department. So you leave that to the minister concerned and the CEO, who is the head of the department, to determine, depending on the needs of the department, the staffing that is going to be required and make the appointment. The other question related to the disqualification, President has been convicted for offenses prior to 1993. The only reason that has been put here is to make sure that persons who have been unfairly found guilty, and this has been acknowledged by the person of legislation, but this particular panel that deals with the persons who may have been convicted for political reasons before, that, for instance, if they have to stand for appointment, it means they must first apply for pardon. But if the committee feels how much pertinent to that particular idea, we can have it taken out. The other issue related to appeal, it is...
What do you think is here in terms of the appeal? It doesn't talk about political, but in general, any person who has been politicking prior to 1993, as president can actually become, choose of any, as president can actually become the CEO of the government. Not because I'm political, I agree with you. I mean, in many ministers' bills, I think we specify the political relationship. But when it is like this, it means any
racist.
Yeah. If the case is not expired, it remains the case, I think, in the other sort of political. But I really think that.
Madam say we take the committee's comment on it, and then we will await them seconds and after that. With regard to the provisional appeal, it is correct that the appeal committee members are appointed by the CEO. Albeit we're saying that the other two must be nominated by the appellant. Now, somebody must appoint the appeal committee member. Obviously, it can't be the appellant. It must be the CEO who is responsible for the day-to-day administration of the affairs of the authority. It is correct that he's going to be, or she's going to be appointed to, plus the chairperson, and then take a note of what the appellant recommends by of nomination. We believe that that's the fact for the balance that we have in mind. If the committee believes that the other two must be appointed by the appellant, the implications of that would be that the appellant may have to proceed to the payment of patent for them to appear in the committee, whereas we believe that if it is the CEO does that, it is the authority that bears the cost of the proceeding.
With your permission, Madam Chair, honorable members, maybe if I can add to this debate. This appeal we're looking at is looking at science, this appeal, where an evaluator will say this, and the applicant will say, I'm not satisfied, and there's not meeting of mine. And therefore, the CEO will choose experts in that particular. Because it's not going to be the same person. If it's something that is pathology, it will have to be pathology. If it's something that deals with the device, it has to be specialist in that particular field. Then the applicant has the right to say, for my side, these are the tools that will be done by the applicant, because it's a specific issue. The applicant will bring its own food. And the chairperson will be somebody who's fully consistent with the issue. But also with the legal background that this is purely on science and evidence and safety. And therefore, the argument will be on that. And we believe that this is clearly science. There should be a meeting of minds at the end of the day. In fact, experience elsewhere with that kind of an appeal on a specific issue. The science will be dealt with because it's proven. Thank you. It is not about process, and then if the applicant is still unhappy, then there are other, higher orders. But what we're trying to define here is clarity on the science. Process issues will go ahead.
I want honorable members to know their follow-up questions. Let us give the department to round up their questions, and we come up with follow-up.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The other question related to the authority being subject to the PFMA Act. This is basically to ensure that there will be proper financial controls in the authority. It does not mean that the authority will be subject to the Public Service Act, for instance. We have a lot of public entities currently which are not subject to the Public Service Act, which are subject to the PFMA. Basically to ensure that there is financial accounting. I can give many examples of entities that we have currently in and outside health that are subject to this act, but are not subject to the Public Service Act, which means they are able to recruit staff, pay staff, salaries that have been determined, which are outside what the DPSA determines for the public sector. The point I'm making is that it does not preclude the authority from employing staff at salaries that is determined by themselves. It only seeks to ensure that there is proper financial control. And with regard to the penalties, if you look at Section 30 of the Transparency Act deals with penalties. In the bill, we are amending that part, but in a slightly different manner that does not directly give with the honorable, what the Honorable Pensions Act. But if you get Section 30 of the Transparency Act deals with penalties. Yeah. There was also a question of foodstuffs and cosmetics, which I think was raised by the chair. As I said in our initial briefing, the challenge that we've been having is with regard to products that are sold as foodstuffs, but medicinal claims are made about this particular product. Same could be said of cosmetics. We've had a number of examples. Some of them have been the subject of court cases, where the person who, the manufacturer, would distribute the product as a foodstuff when the department and make medicinal claims about it, and the department would be under pressure to do something about it. Now, what we have done is that if a foodstuff contains a medicinal substance, it should be the subject of the act. In other words, the person should be able to substantiate the claims that are made about the product through the evaluation process, like we would with any other medicine. I will ask my colleague Ms. Hela to deal with the issue that was raised around committees. We are going to be getting people to sit in the committees, expert committees. And then Dr. Pile will explain the concept of bonusing, as was asked by the president. And Ms. Alisa will also deal with the issue of sale of unregistered medicine. But basically, we make a clear distinction in the Act that this will be allowed, and the person who comes, Ms. Alisa will explain what kind of circumstances would allow the sale of unregistered medicine.
Before giving to Dr. Kine, followed by Chief Director Health, I wonder if the concern of Mrs. Lamola, Honorable Lamola, is in the authority as a authority health in the same office. If you raise the question, may you repeat that, madam?
It was on the policy, the structure of the new policy.
Ms. Heller will deal with the issue of funds and committees. The issue of structure, like I said earlier, we find it difficult to provide for the structure in the legislation. If there is a proposal from the committee in terms of what they would like to see happening, that they will welcome those. But like I said earlier, a number of laws that provide for this kind of agencies and authorities do not provide for the structure in the Act itself, because that would be federal for certain purposes. You provide for numbers, an instance where you provide for some kind of a board or a council, like was the case with regard to the current MCC, because you had people from outside. In that case, you had to determine the numbers. You also have to determine, for instance, in the case of legislation, how those people arrive at decisions. We have to make regulations on the procedures that are followed at the meetings of those particular individuals, because you must also provide for how these things are arrived at, you know, the quorum and all these kind of things. Now we're moving away from that kind of an arrangement to an authority, which is a full-time entity. In our view, once you appoint the CEO, you give him or her the power to appoint staff. That suffices. I think I should leave it at that, and then my colleagues will add on the other, we'll discuss the other questions that I indicated there.
Thank you, Chair. On the question of bonusing,
the amendments are changed from what was a prohibition of bonusing on medicines. Initially, the legislation spoke about the prohibition of bonusing on medicines. Now it's extending that to devices and other products will now cover all of those products. The rationale behind controlling bonusing is that most medical products and medical services generally occur in a flawed market, as we call it. A flawed market in the sense that the person who's actually purchasing the product is the patient. And most often than not, the patient does not have the necessary information to make a decision about whether this is the right medicine for me, this is the right device for me, etc., etc. These decisions are often made by the health professional, be it a doctor, nurse, pharmacist. And in an environment where there are rebates and bonuses, the supplier of these products could offer substantial bonuses that even off invoice to the patient, who would then be see that as a stream of income, and then be incentivized to offer that to the patient. It may not be the most appropriate thing. That had been the case with medicines, and currently the legislation prevents us from doing that. The idea is to extend that to other products like devices, etc., so that the health professional makes a decision not based on any financial incentive as to how much he or she will earn that product, but whether the product is actually appropriate for that particular patient. And when there's a bonus system, clearly people are incentivized because they may be able to make more money out of that particular product.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other
Thank you, Chair. The question was, where are we going to get the savings from? Yes, it's going to be a challenge, but I don't think it's a challenge that will be implemented. Because currently, we do get graduates in science that we engage and train. But the our experience currently is that those graduates migrate to the private sector. The major attraction being salary. And we've had quite a number of our own staff members when they saw this year that have said they would want to come back. Because the work that we do is far more interesting in terms of a broader scope than they get when they go to the private sector. The challenge of salary will always be there because government can never match the private sector at any stage, but we can narrow the gap and bring in other incentives to hold people and just the pressure of the job probably. The second issue is that the current scientists that we are using, and we've had over talks from many academicians that would want to join us in a more flexible arrangement. In the ministerial council, we even talked about people that would be retained on a full-time equivalent basis, not full-time, but where we know that we devote some time to our work and then we'll be paid according to prescribed service level agreement that we do this kind of work and this is what we get, but it is prescribed something. So we're thinking of a number of limitations that we have to do that. Lastly, internationally, there is realization that skills are scarce, particularly in developing countries. They are, in fact, even in developed countries. The sense now that we need to move to a more regionalized, harmonized effort for specific difficult areas where we have staff here. I can cite the European Union, for instance, because when the European Union came together, they defined the regulatory authority and mutual recognition and harmonization of their regulation for the whole of the EU. These individual countries still have their regulatory authorities, but there's an umbrella one for certain things, and they all participate and engage in them. And we think in the future there's nothing that will stop us for example, within standard from coming with that kind of arrangement where we derive the cities from the whole region rather than from an individual country. Of course, there are lots of things that would have to be done to make sure that their standards are up to scratch, to make sure that there's consistent issues that are addressed, to make sure that our laws talk to each other, to make sure that we trust each other on our standards. Our commitment. So we're thinking of all those issues to address the scientists that are those would be for specific areas that that would be challenging, that you can kind of take any case by your technology, nanotechnology and so on, but for the run of the issue it shouldn't be too difficult to get to the right people. And of course they would have good training. Now, the second question was around the state of unregistered medicine. This is something that we have in the current law as well. And the sale of unregistered medicine will only do with a permit. Whoever is going to do that applies to the regulatory authorities for a permit and will satisfy set requirements. And we only do this for medicine that is going to be used in clinical trials where we still investigate the efficacy, safety of that particular medicine to be used for a particular disease. And therefore, we will allow that, and it's under very strict control. We know exactly how much we get it, and there's a record of whom it went to, and that record is sent to the regulatory authority from time to time, and our inspector go and inspect that it is being used accordingly. The second area that we use and registered medicine is for commercial use. Say there is a drug that we still evaluating or not evaluating, but that has been proven elsewhere to work elsewhere in the world, maybe from another regulatory authority. And we haven't registered yet in the country. And we don't have anything to treat that condition. Then the doctor can apply, the treating doctor can apply for a permit to bring that into the country and treat specific patient aid. So those are the only areas that we can register.
Thank you very much. Hey, Robert, do you want to comment?
Thank you, sir. This is an instruction on the issue of the structure of the authority. There's nothing constitutional or legally wrong with the structure the department prepared, but the issue is whether how practical is it going to be. Since this gives the indication that there's going to be a lot that is hidden behind. So what we propose is that, as in the line with Honorable Tolo, that instead of one minister being one who's going to consider this, we propose that we change to in conversation between the two ministers. In understanding that this is the health, really it's empowering the Minister of Health, but in as far as the question, only the question of the structure, we propose that there must be consensus at least with the, between the two ministers, because it involves public service, because it is a public entity. So that was our proposal. Going to the appeals, originally it was the minister who was to gather the appeal committee. So in our view, it would have helped the position was maintained. Like I thought that at least the CEO was appointing two people, and the appealant was appointing two people. The chairperson was remaining appointed by the minister. Show that when they need a majority vote, then it will show there will be a bit of independence in the structure, so that it does not remain the CEO who is appointing the whole committee, and the chairperson is also appointed by the CEO. This looks like the CEO is going to be appointing three people. I think this is the only problem. It's like the CEO is going to be appointing three people, and the assistant is appointing two. So we need a balance in involving the minister. I think it cannot be of the
department.
I forgot to say to members, our parliamentary legal advisor, Advocate Mukesh, was staying on leave until next month. He will be with us in our meeting. There's a follow up from Honorable TT. Any other member?
Chairperson, I think we can leave it for now. I'm just feeling that some of the things we shall actually engage them in a committee, because I mean we are making points, they are indicating why certain things they are proposing the way that they are. I felt that I won't do a follow up anymore, then we can some of the things later, if you allow me.
Thank you very much, Pastor, to advocate from our fellow questions. If there are issues that members want the department
should put in the welcome. I think that's on the before giving to children, let us do the honorable call.
No, Chair, I think today is not the day when we are going to be comfortable. Today is the first time we should be done.
Yeah.
And even every party goes to 75 seats, every party will go back and sit alone and say, these are the issues that we think. Then we come into the meeting. Maybe that's the end of the meeting. Go to the proposal. Go to the amendment that you want to make.
Thank you very much, because I was just reminding you that again, next Tuesday the 25th, we'll be also deliberating on this day. As indicated when we started that day, this is a briefing we are getting for the first time from the department on the amendment bill of 1965. Chief Director Ramasala, I'll put your hand on this something, because we
thanks, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make one point in relation to the structure. To say that I heard the members saying that, for instance, it cannot be desirable to leave the determination of the structure as an important entity to one person. Who is the Minister of Health. Can I just say that we maybe this deals with the issue of independence of the structure of the entity or the authority as was raised in certain in the National Assembly, for instance. The way we see it is simple. An entity like this cannot be independent in a vacuum. The Minister of Health, as part of the executive, constitutionally has authority to determine policy and implement policy. In other words, the buck stops with the Minister of Health on health matters. Now, the mandate of the authority is to implement government policy, which relates to the regulation of medicines, ensure that they are safe for the public and everything that's related to that. Now, if authorities cannot be independent out of context, independent only to the extent that it deals with scientific issues, but as to the discharge of a mandate, that's a public mandate, in respect of which we believe the national executive is responsible for constitutionally.
Thank you very much for your
feedback.
Honorable members will decide. Let me take this opportunity to thank the department, honorable members, and our guests. The department thanks for the time of presenting the bill to us. We'll be deliberating on this bill next week, and hopefully we'll finalize it. You see, we are going to have a 5 minutes half break, then the committee will continue with the business of the week. But the department is here in the center of the committee. This is the mayor, the mom. Half break.
Thank you. That's only for the cold weather. Cold weather.
Are you from Uppington?
Never. No,
let's see how it can
cold. Cool. Oh, that's you,
I want to please call actors.
Of the
what is the open session say, that you are going to deal with the minutes of the speaker and the
No, she was a recruiting membership.
All from the Northwest.
I've opened a bottle and
watched it.
What response?
Lima?
No, report earlier.
Only minutes, yes.
About a BTA.
No.
There was a two and a half event. Were you there? No. And there's another workshop that we have.
And Kula Minister.
And Kuta.
Yes, sir.
Kuta workshop.
Kuta workshop. Kuta workshop.
Faith Yoga. Let me deplace and keep it. Let me deplace and keep I'll ask the Minister of Local Government. Yeah. Some of us didn't get the courier, but maybe it's because we've been away from home.
Honorable member, according to the agenda, with adoption of the minutes, so we need the report because this is members in this report. We only adopt the minutes. But in our next week, we have to adopt the report. Workshop on the prevention of treatment for substance abuse. B12 and the draft report on the. Yeah, these are the drafts. So if there are some omissions, number 10. They all have the numbers. That's the number. That's what we do. That's the number. And check it out.
Mavi.
How are you?
Oh.
How are you? I'm fine. We have copies of them.
Okay.
Just give me one red something sweet so that I can get wake up. Mr. TJ? Mr. J?
Bring the red one for me.
Bring the red one for me, Arco.
Red one.
Red one.
The bed?
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything that I
vitamin C.
Yes, Master.
Give me the red one, sir.
Very good.
Everybody wants red.
Yeah,
it's not red wine.
Oh, what a thing.
Hey, that's in like a good woman. Hey, you can disappoint as well. Never.
Let me start. Why?
They're trying to explain, and mind you, I was writing a test. And it's really so nice that my dad sees it has taken 9 o'clock. Lucky enough, no, I was not writing a test, just a lesson, a class, and we had to do group work. But anyway, I arrived there, but I was very disappointed.
I mean, I'm not here with some of the children who phone it on a Saturday morning. Because the phone, what if you're not like this? I'm not going to
see you. I'm very real. Nak 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 rawat tuan mui.
Nak nak lah.
Ya, tuan mui deh.
Eh, akhirnya ni kau baca Friday.
Ya, aku baca. Nampak nak kan aku kena di.
No, Friday aku tiga pilih airport. Anti sahaya, kamu pergi la lecture dia semua the next day.
And then.
Kena nak rukuk dia gua hai, baik sih na bah. Kau tahu punya la ni Sunday.
Abi.
Apologize. I think so.
Hey, Ariko, I'm having a new secretary taking all my stuff.
Oh. He's taking all your stuff. I got some machine that's up for us. Oh, receipts, yeah.
Well, I think this is one kind of thing. But I'm missing some dope in there.
There is all issues, honorable members. There is some addition to be edited by Friday this week if there are some outstanding issues. Must be given to second film so that next week we can adopt the two reports. Today we are only dealing with the adoption of the minutes. We've got the minutes of the 24th June on page 1.
Which one is that?
The 24th of June.
Ah, Chris, which one? Which one? 24th of June.
Where Mr. Stoll was the chair?
Yes.
And the second?
Which one was the
page?
Yeah.
Agreement.
Sign, CP for Tolo, and date, the second one, the 9th of September, where Honorable Truman was acting as a chairperson.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all named there?
Agreed on page 1.
Yes.
Page 2.
Yes. 3, yes.
Page 3.
Agreed.
5. The next minute on the same day, 9 September, test of 14 to 15 days, as in chapter 7, Honorable Truman.
What was he done at the Truman?
Were you there, Ms. Carriga?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what present?
Page 2.
Which date are we on?
9.
9.
Second 9.
What?
Consideration of negotiation in society. Name based on the presentation of the treatment of customs of this B12. B2008. The next one, 25th September. Page 1, there's no indication that whoever checked has an index meeting. I think they must be over the check.
The chairperson of the seat is the final Monday's
one. September 2008. Page 1.
Agree.
Page 2.
Page
3. Page 4. Sign and the day. Honorable member, thank you very much. We'll be debating, as indicated last time, the tobacco bill. I still say we're going to debate it because it's a section 32.
Tobacco?
Yeah.
When?
No, 36. But I just want to get it from members.
Yeah, we still want to debate.
Thank you, I pray.
When?
Next week.
Next Tuesday, on the 21st,
I think in the afternoon.
Are those the debate?
Huh?
Is that a plenary next week?
Yeah, yeah. There's a plenary.
Is there any plenary? No.
I'm not in.
Today
we will check our programs. Honorable members, you all have this PhD presentation. They just gave it to Ariko.
We may have missed it on
this. I think it's just an oral presentation. We need them 5 minutes to present, but we're not going to engage on the issue here. Do you agree?
Can we make, maybe we, there's a need to make copies later on.
No,
he doesn't seem to have enough copies.
Is there
he has.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have
it. It's a two-page presentation, but we go through it. So we just give them 5 minutes for our presentation, but we're not going to engage them on this meeting.
When is that taking place?
Here next week when we start our meeting.
Oh.
We'll just give them 5 minutes. Presentation, huh? But you can remind members again because members are having many houses. They might be going to another house.
What do you mean 2 years?
They said nothing for next week.
Next week? But why do you couldn't know about that waste of money?
It's waste of money.
You are here, you are things there. From whom? When you know we are here.
No, we were not here.
But you knew we were going to be here today.
Even the courier, we got a constituency office.
No.
But he wanted us to study the documents.
Courier for next week.
No.
No, don't be worried. English is his fourth language.
This is an election period, so we are very busy. We are waiting 9 provinces, so we have to be reminded about the meeting. Thank you very much. Mrs. Senna, then you are invited for the finger lunch.
If there's
an opportunity for members to come out with an announcement of the secretary. And the last point, honorable members, the chief whip wanted to check whether the bill is going to be finalized today. The one we got a presentation so that it can be on the list of plenary. I just said no, it's not going to be possible. Today is the first presentation. So hopefully we'll finalize it maybe next week. So I spoke on your behalf. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Just something on the tobacco bill. This is an administrative process, but I think I need to just explain. We have received a final mandate, but before we're going to take it to the House, we must make sure that the relevant provinces set us final mandates on the I can't remember now, was it introduced as an A version or as an A version? And then we amended it, became a C. Right. Now, the final mandate must be based on the final version, which would be the D version. Am I correct? So, what we must make sure is that we get those written mandates for the D version before we take it to the D. I know it happened in the past, especially with Gauteng, where they refuse to, they don't see the D version physically themselves. But we must just make a follow-up on this, and I think focused, and then I work with those scholars in vain. Yeah, just double check with them and make sure.
Thank you very much, and what happened to
they boxed him. They boxed him. He has been boxed. So we were trying to run away. He could not. The situation was very tense and problematic. No, we don't want red meat. We don't want to be fat.